From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State and all over the world on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, and you can pick up the podcast from there as well. Yes, the site is a little outdated, but the podcasts are updated. So, you know, hey, we're catching up a little bit at a time. As I said for 2018 last week, that we would be getting things back in order, man. We've had some uplifting news, and we're keeping some people around that we thought were gone. So, you know, let's just say this, a very positive outlook for 2018 and the show. And we always, of course, want to thank our friends at Lucky Buck Deer Mineral, and don't think that there's ever a better time to use it than right now, man. Bucks are recovering from all that running around that they're doing. New antler growth will be starting immediately. So, you know, why not refresh your sights? And then come springtime, come March area, not even spring, March, when the grass starts growing and you start seeing it, the antler growth will really start. So why not give them a kickstart with Lucky Buck? So, and we appreciate them being on with us here in 2018 as well. Last week, we talked a little bit of ice fishing. We're going to do the same thing this time with our good friend Mark Martin, Freshwater Fishing Hall of Famer and all-around good guy. Mark, how are you?
Great. How about yourself, Duran?
Doing well, man. Last week was a big week. We went down to the Ultimate Fishing Show down in Novi at the Suburban Collection Showplace. I got to tell you, it was packed when we got there on Saturday. I was so happy. I mean, look, it was cold and it was a longer walk than normal. But that being said, that means that we, you know, there was more going on and there was definitely a lot more people.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, thanks to, you know, all the educators like yourself out there getting people excited about the outdoors. You know, I can see that, you know, it got people out seeing the newest, latest, and greatest. And I actually spent more time at that show than I normally have time. My sponsors wanted me to come in early, so I went right from Houghton Lake, my ice fishing vacation school, right to Novi and started helping people make good decisions at Frank's Great Outdoors on all sorts of tackle over there so that they were successful the next time they go out. So I, just like you, I was amazed how everybody just was packed in there. I mean, Friday was a little bad because the weather was really, really bad. Thursday? You know, it was one of those days it was really bad, and there's still a lot of people in there. So, you know, weather didn't hold them down too bad.
No, it was like our cabin fever kickoff, man. Everybody, look, we know it's cold out. We know the ice is forming out there in a lot of spots, still dangerous in others. And this is a time that we wanted to really get out. And, you know, Detroit being a huge walleye community with of course, the Detroit River right there and the great fishery that is Lake St. Clair, people would just want to get out and look forward to spring. But you're still focusing on ice with the fishing vacation schools that you do. One under your belt already, getting ready for another one up at Burt Lake.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be fun. We're getting just about a full house there with the soldiers and students and media. And, you know, it's just, and they're catching fish up there right now. So we just got to go and refine our spots for the walleyes, the perch, the burbot, the trout, the pike. And there's muskie in there. We caught a couple small sturgeon there last year. So you never know what you're going to catch up there, and some of the places that we have on the lake, we're actually going to be sight fishing for some of these fish.
That's pretty cool. I mean, look, when you got a, and that's a pretty big lake. I mean,
yeah,
as lakes go, that's a big lake. It's a deep lake, and that's this is an opportunity to learn how to fish a lake of that size, that depth. That normally we wouldn't, you know. I mean, a lot of guys like myself wouldn't go out of their comfort zone for that.
We try to offer a lot of variety in our ice fishing schools, you know, from the shallow Houghton Lake out to a deeper, cleaner inland lake, and then we're going to be the granddaddy out there on Saginaw Bay, the Great Lake. So we try to, you know, give an opportunity to people that want to learn how to fish different bodies of water and give them the expertise. Not only myself, but all my pro staff are just as good as I am. Otherwise, I wouldn't have them there. And they can teach just as well as I am. And the people that sign up for this, they should take advantage of all these pro staff, because they got hundreds and hundreds of years of knowledge that it would take them that long to ever, you know, accomplish what they've learned in those few days out there on the ice with all of my pro staff and myself.
Mark Martin is joining us here right now. He is a we could say world-renowned ice or fishing expert, walleye tour champion, of course, champion fishing overall, and a great guy, man. He's been a friend of ours for as many years that we've been doing the show. Fishingvacationschool.com is where you can go to learn more about these vacation schools. And Mark, one of the things that you guys teach, aside from electronics and everything else, it seems very basic, but yet so much can be missed. And that's the art of, like, tip-up fishing.
Oh, yeah. You know, exactly, because it's not throw the tip-ups down and, walk away from them and the flag goes up, somebody yells flag, and it's a marathon run to the flag. It's not like that. I mean, them were the old days when we made a lot of mistakes. We set them at a specific depth, height off of bottom. We hooked the minnow the correct way between the dorsal and the tail fin, so it's working all the time. We get our money out of our bait, make them work for work for us, I should say. Right. And then we have the correct amount of weight on there. We have the correct amount of a float on there, so if they do take it and drop it, the float still keeps it up off bottom, but it was also a strike indicator, knowing that, hey, it wasn't a wind trip, I don't see my bobber. We teach them all that stuff, and then we teach them how to just go in there and extract the tip up out of there without the fish knowing you're there, and get the line down in the hole first, and then lay the tip up out, get your back to the wind, get situated, and then you might have to give them 20, 30 feet more, and then you pull back a little bit, feel a little weight, feel a little tug, drop 4 or 5 more feet, or maybe you're going to have to strip out 20 feet because he's going to take off, and you do that 4 or 5 times, and now they've turned the minnow around. And now they have it in a position that you can probably get the hook in. And I never set the hook like I'm drilling it, like I'm going to set it into a whale or something. I just start pulling it hand over hand, and the little tiny number 8 or 10 treble hook just slides right into the mouth of the fish, and you just play it, let them go, bring them back, let them go. And I only use 6-pound Vanish leader on it so that it fits between a predator's teeth a lot better. And I don't use steel leaders, because I reduce the number of fish that I'm going to take on a given day by using too heavy of a tackle. I may land everything on something like that, but I only may get one or none. I want, 10, 15, 20 fish, and land pretty much all of them anyhow. Just take your time.
You know, and that right there, I think that could summarize more than what a lot of people know. I mean, I'm just going to throw myself out there, more than I probably ever knew about tip-up fishing right there.
And that's just one thing we teach you.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is why these fishing schools, I mean, if you really want to, learn, you learn from the best. And Mark Martin and his fishing vacation schools are definitely the way to go. And Mark, before I get into another question, because we've only got about a minute left in this segment,
yeah.
I don't want to ask another question, because it'll lead me to, I got to stop. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep you on hold for a minute.
Yeah.
And I want to point out your websites. MarkMartins.net, that's Mark Martin with an S, .net, and FishingVacationSchool.com is where you can find out about the upcoming fishing vacation schools for the open water school, the ice fishing school, his pro staff, the media staff, and all the other links that he's got on there. And of course, his great sponsors that have been with Mark for so long. And Mark's going to talk more about what's coming up for him and the vacation schools. Mark, I appreciate you joining us here. So hang on the line. We'll be back more with Mark Martin. If you missed any of last week's show, It's already up on the podcast. You can get the link at wildmichiganradio.com. Appreciate you joining us here. And we'll talk to more with Mark Martin on the Lucky Buck Hotline coming up next on Wild Michigan.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Hey, up in the backwoods, down in the holler. Old boy's feeling like a dog on a collar. Keeping that chain pulled tight. Waiting on Saturday night.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. So good to have you here. Making our way towards February, making our way towards more shows, and definitely another fishing vacation school for Mark Martin, who is our guest here on the Lucky Buck Hotline. And Mark, the fishing vacation school, we talked a little bit off air about how you are now international. You are a world known angler, and you've got people literally flying over from the UK to fish with you.
Yeah, you know, that was surprising, you know, that I didn't really realize that he came that far until he got here because he used an address in the United States to get everything to me because he's wanting to become an American and he's got an address here, but he really is spending more time over there until he becomes one in the next month or two. And he said that they can't even fathom doing this over in the UK because you have to pay people to go on a lake. You got to pay people to catch that fish. If you don't catch it the right way and you do something, or if you catch it and, you know, you got people, you know, that are watching you all the time. And he said it's not like it is here where you go out and catch fish and have fun. And he caught his first fish ice fishing with the school, caught his first walleye, caught his first bass, caught his first pike, caught his first crappie. I mean, every one of them, you know, if people go to my Mark Martin Fishing Facebook site, you'll see him on there. He's got the most surprised look on his face for every one of these fish, and he's not hamming it up. He is in awe, and you all laugh at the pictures because they're so they're funny because he's that into that fishing that it's like, wow, I caught that one. I really did.
Sure.
You know, and he appreciates it. Now him and his buddies, they're going to, you know, now he'll be in the United States next year, but he's bringing some of his buddies next year for every school that we do. Cause he said, this is the way to go, Mark.
Well, you know, and that's great that you've got the, you know, these folks coming over. And And like I told you off air, a couple of years ago, we had the opportunity to go and fish Ireland, which never in my life would I have ever thought that possible. And here's the really cool thing about Ireland, Mark. I told you that the lake we fished in County Clare on Loch Derg, is there are no houses really on this 33-mile long lake, and nobody fishes until May when the mayfly bites out. There's some pike fishing out there with the guys at Black Bay Lodge, but you don't need a fishing license. The Irish do not like fishing licenses. Therefore, there's no real rules or anything. But you know what? Everybody takes care of the resource anyway. They're not going crazy out there.
That's, you know, everybody pays attention to, you know, want and waste. You know,
absolutely.
I wish more people would have that, you know, mentality that, you know, you don't take more than you can use, you know, and use what you do take, you know, and that would help out a whole lot. And, you know, put back in what you catch instead. What irks me the most is people last year on Burt Lake, the burbot are ugly, and they start throwing these 5, 6, 7 pound burbot out. They eat like lobster.
Right.
And I'm watching these seagulls peck them after they throw them out on the ice, and I walk over and I say, hey, you going to use these things? No, they're garbage. And I went, well, put them back down the hole. Other people like them. Ah, they're just trash fish. I went, you know, if you're not going to utilize them, I said, I have people in the school that realize how good they are to eat.
Sure.
And they'll be over and pick them up.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing. And you know what? I've yet to try one. And I'm not going to say no.
Right. Oh, yeah. You flay them out, and you'd get the water boiling first with a little bit of salt and a little bit of vinegar. And once it's boiling, you put them in for not more than two and a half minutes. Take them out. They're curled up just like a lobster tail, and there's the same texture. You know, dip them in lemon and butter, and you can't tell the difference.
Dude, I just had breakfast and I'm hungry already.
I know.
That's so crazy.
I made myself hungry again, too.
Now, Mark Martin is our guest here. His websites are markmartins.net and, of course, fishingvacationschool.com. Mark, we talked a little bit about the Fishing Vacation School, but you're off today to not only look at Saginaw Bay for yourself, but you've got a very special event that you're working on right now as well.
Yeah, I'm headed over with my pro staff, Brandon Stanton, and a few other pro staff, Todd Spink, and we're going to do an autism seminar. All the proceeds will go back to autism families over there in the Thumb. And you can go to the Facebook and, you know, see what we're up to and see what we did. And it's going to be one of those things that you feel good about. You know, sure. You're giving back to less fortunate people that if you do the right things, that they can hopefully someday enjoy what you do, because they're going to get some of the help they need to go out and do these things that, you know, the normal family does, because all these proceeds go to help people like that become easier to do things out in the community.
You know, I have to say too, Mark, that we as a, you know, as a country and in the medical fields, we've found out so much more over the years about autism and how it affects people, and it really gives us a better way to better understand what autism is.
Right.
And events like this that raise funds for awareness are very helpful, because there's a lot of times, and I'll guarantee, excuse me, even as a kid growing up in the 70s, it was something that, you know, we didn't know anything about, you know what I mean? And a lot of parents were just, you know, they dealt with the best they could, but they didn't have all of the support we have now.
No. Yeah. And that's what they need, because the families, you know, they need the support, the kids, the young adults that have, they all need support, and they all need, you know, new methods that are coming about that help them be a little more, I guess, you know, where they can fit into the society a lot easier and function on a higher level. And that's what we're trying to do, you know, so that it brings joy to my heart when I can do things that, you know, help people, you know, and if I can help them fishing, I can help them doing autism, I can help them, you know, the soldiers, we're going to be up there at Burt Lake this in a few weeks, we're going to help them go out on the ice and enjoy the sport of ice fishing. I mean, it's all about giving back somehow.
Well, man, I tell you what, this is why we love having you on. We get to learn a little bit, get to find out what you're up to, and it's not all about the trophies and the tournaments, man. There's so much more to it. I mean, it got you there, but now you are taking a whole different approach, and you know, and there's a lot of other guys out there too that are so well known in this industry that there's a lot that you do that the magazines don't cover and you know, you don't see in seminars, and this is why we bring you on, man, and we really appreciate you as always.
Well, thank you, Duran. Appreciate you being on, talking to you and your listeners. And, you know, if any of them all don't, you know about something, they can always email. And if I know something or know somebody that knows something, I'll give them the answer.
All right, Mark Martin. Find him, markmartins.net. And, of course, fishingvacationschool.com. Appreciate you joining us here. And as always, good talking to you, man.
Take care, Duran.
All right, we're going to speak with Keith Stanton. Talking about pike spearing next on Wild.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. If I can make a living walking in the woods, you can bet I'd be sitting pretty good.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Oh my God, it's so nice out. Nice as in, yeah, it's a little windy, but there's ice on the lakes. And yeah, we'll talk about other stuff. We'll talk about, you know what, right now is the time to talk about fishing, talk about ice fishing, talking about getting ready for spring. Last week, we talked to our good friend Ed Shaw up at the Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fish Center. A great guy, man. If you want to learn about steelheading, that is going to be the place to go. It's not that big of a drive to Cadillac, wherever you're from. And you know what? You can learn a little bit and take that with you, just like you can with the Mark Martin Fishing Schools. And this is why we have such great guests on the show, being brought to you by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. And speaking of which, on the Lucky Buck hotline right now, my good friend Keith Stanton from PikeSpearing.com, on his way out to go shoot some video for Michigan Out of Doors TV, our good friends Jimmy and Jenny over there. And he's going to do what he does best, and that's pike spearing. How are you, Keith?
I am great, Duran. I'm going fishing, so how can I not be? Yeah. How are you?
We had that little conversation about why I don't like you anymore, but it's okay. But, man,
finally,
we were talking about, you know, hey, if we ever get ice, that was last year's conversation. That was the year before when we had like 3 weeks of ice. But this year is a good year.
We're good this year, and I think we're going to be good right on through. You know, these little warm-ups, got one coming up here again. This time of year, it doesn't seem to affect things a whole lot. You know, we'll go get right back into a cold snap. And you know, I'm hearing from guys last week when that warm-up happened, the fish bit like crazy just before, and after they shut right down. And so it's one of the reasons I'm heading out today. We're going to try to play this weather and get them on the bite as this warm-up starts to happen.
Well, and that's just it, too. People have to watch these pressure changes because it makes fish react. When you have all that pressure coming down on their lateral line and then it's gone, or vice versa, when it's gone and then it comes in, there's a change coming, and they need to feed to adjust for that change. Whether it's going to be things get really fast or things get really slow, they're adjusting for that change, and we need to watch for that change itself.
Watch and take advantage. That's what we're going to try to do today. So hopefully, if the fish gods are with us, we'll put something on the ice.
Now, I want to talk a little bit because we were down at the show last week, and like you said, like Mark Martin said also, that first couple days were kind of slow. Then the day we decided to go, we're parking out, you know, towards like, you know, Wixom, and walking all the way into Novi because it was that busy. We finally had some decent weather to get on the road. And this is where you come in with your show and the pike killer lures and the spears and everything else. And how was it for you? How did that all end up?
Oh, the show was great. You know, ShowSpan puts on an excellent show every year. You know, the consistency with them is outstanding. And the low attendance on Friday, we had that heck of a snowstorm, and I don't blame anybody for not leaving their house. But, yeah, Saturday and Sunday, I was about hoarse on Sunday night just from talking so much. So we ended up having an excellent show, got a lot of new people into the sport of pike spearing. They've never done it, bought a spear, and I'm already getting pictures from father and son that had never done it, bought a spear, went out the next day, and the kid got his first fish. And so the dad says, he's hooked, you know, he's done.
And see, this is, we've talked about this, and I talk about this with everybody, that, you know, I've not found the time, and I really want to find the time, get out and try this just once. But there is an art to the decoy, an art to, you know, making that decoy work for you. Now, you spent a lot of time and effort designing your own decoys, and from what I saw on the table, you've really, really stepped it up with the overall design and colors on the decoys as well.
Yeah, you know, they've got to swim. So when I carve each one cedar, and before it gets a coat of paint, I drop it in the tank that I have and make sure that it swims. And by swim, we mean move around in a circle, basically. The tail's bent, so they swim in a circle. As long as they do that, then they get coated with paint. And, you know, you see some decoys that are realistic, and those are great. But I like loud, ugly, gaudy. I mean, a lot of my decoys look like a six-year-old painted them. And it's done that way on purpose, just because, you know, them pike, they're curious by nature. So I think the louder, the uglier, the gaudier to bring them in, because you don't got to get them to bite it. You know, you just got to get them in the hole, and you can stab them with a spear.
Keith Stanton from PikeSpearing.com is joining us right now. And, Keith, you brought up a very good point. I think sometimes we give the fish too much credit when it comes to what it looks like on the plate for us, if it looks good, that automatically has to work, right? I mean, right. Geez, that looks just like a fish. That's got to work. Not the case.
No, and every fisherman that has fished for any amount of time has said the phrase, well, this looks good enough, I'd eat it, you know, when they're running their lure, you know. It's kind of like turkey hunting, you know. You can have those days where you step in the woods, you shoot your turkey by 5 minutes after shooting light, and you're done, and you can spend 3 weeks chasing a bird around. A lot of it comes down to right place, right time, hungry fish or interested fish. Luck plays such a big part in all of our outdoor activities. It really does. There's only so far skill can take you, you know.
Sure. Yeah, you can't make fish bite. You can do your best to entice them, and like you said, with the curiosity of pike, it's not really like, hey, that's a perch. I'm hungry for perch right now. You know, it's not. It doesn't have opposable thumbs. Okay, let's just get that out of the equation right now. And I'm going to ask you this question, as I've asked every other muskie and pike angler in the world: why is red and white such an important combination when it comes to pike and predator fish in general?
I really don't know. I don't have an answer. It could be as simple as someone start catching a fish on red and white, and so everybody uses it, and they use it a lot. And so naturally, you're going to get the most action on that. Being a guy at the show had this discussion. He says, I always do good on yellow. I said, well, do you run any other colors? Not a whole lot. Well, that kind of explains why you do good on yellow. It's the only thing you ever put in the water.
Exactly.
That's taking nothing away from red and white combo, because it's one of my favorites. You know, we're creatures of habit. If it worked once, by golly, throw it down the hole and see if you can get it to work again.
Now, with Keith Stanton joining us here from PikeSpearing.com, the Pike Killer Lures, and, of course, your decoys, I see you've added some flash and some rattle to your decoys.
Yeah, just a little something, just a little extra junk to, you know, you never know, maybe turn a fish. Pike love that flash, and so we've added some spinners to our decoys on the tails and some around just the fins of them. And it's just that little extra added bonus to, you know, maybe entice them into the hole.
Now, you've gone out this year already. I mean, we've had great ice this year. I mean, starting early ice. People like to get out on a couple of inches of ice, Keith. I don't really recommend that for pike spearing. Frankly, I don't recommend it at all to go out on 2 inches of ice, being a big fella myself. But what is a good safe amount of ice? Because there is a bigger hole involved when you're out there pike spearing.
Yeah, there is. You know, I personally like 5 to 6 inches of ice. And like you said, I'm sure you can do it on less than that, but why take the chance, you know? You are cutting quite a good size hole, and you know, you get those warm days, especially where that ice is getting funky, and it's just not worth getting wet. So I like 5 to 6 inches, and then you're comfortable sitting there. You know you're safe.
Now, real quickly, we've got about a minute left in the segment, Keith. What is a preferred depth? I mean, do you have to see the bottom? Can it be a deep body of water for fishing like this, or do you prefer shallows?
It's a lot of personal preference. Even when I'm in 20-foot of water spearing, I'm still only running my decoy 3 to 4 feet underneath the ice. The pike naturally feed up with the eyes on top of their head. So I like drop-offs anywhere from 5 to 12 feet is my preferred depth to spear at.
All right, Keith Stanton is joining us here from PikeSpearing.com on the Lucky Buck Hotline. Keith, if you don't mind hanging on, we're gonna get back to you, because I want to find out a little bit more about the actual art of spearing itself.
Sure thing.
I like to call it art, you know, just because we fancy. Appreciate everybody joining us. You can find this on our podcast via our really outdated website, wildmichiganradio.com. We're going to speak more with Keith Stanton about pike spearing, and you can watch him on upcoming episodes of Michigan Out of Doors. Stick here. It's Wild Michigan.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down, let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I am Duran Martinez. all over the world, wildmichiganradio.com. Appreciate you joining us here. Another great weekend to get out and enjoy what you love, be it fishing, ice fishing, or even rabbit hunting, man. Rabbit hunting on a good sunny day after we've had some cold snaps, after we've had some wind. Ah, that sounds like a good time to me. Dogs or no dogs, rabbits are going to be out in that sun, and it's going to be a fun time if you get out and enjoy this great state we call Michigan. Talking about pike spearing with Keith Stanton. He's getting ready to film another episode for Michigan Out of Doors TV, pikespearing.com, because that's pretty much what he does. Aside from making the decoys and the pike killer lures for kind of a jigging thing, and let's get away from decoys real quick, Keith, and talk about that vertical jigging, even though it's pretty much inside, you know, the same way you're fishing there.
I do it every year. I get out there and do some jigging for pike and muskie. You know, there's just nothing like the fight of those big predator fish and the hits. You know, they just hit like a ton of bricks. And, of course, I have an underwater camera with me, which makes the whole experience that much more enjoyable. But, you know, I tell a lot of folks they're tough to catch. I mean, you might spend a little while, but the wait is well worth it, man. When you hook a good fish, there's nothing like it.
No, I mean, especially something that big, toothy, and angry, trying to get through that little hole. it's a riot, trust me.
Oh yeah, sometimes it's interesting. Of course, I always have a camera going, so you know, you never know what's going to happen. You know, especially when you get them bigger fish, it turns into a real a crazy time, and it's fun to watch back, you know, and see how fired up I get. That's probably my favorite part about the whole thing.
Now let's talk about the spears that you use. Look, I've got my own side business called MI Pick and Flip. It's a you can find us on Facebook. We do a lot of stuff with old, you know, vintage items like that. We do a lot of barn picking, and we come across a lot of pike spears, but Granddad's pike spear may not be the same kind of pike spear that you're using, although I'm sure it's pretty good.
You know, it's such a simple thing. I mean, how many different ways can you do it, you know what I mean, as far as making the spear? You need sharp points and you need barbs to hold the fish, and you need a handle. That's pretty much it. You know, recently guys have gone to, they're doing like laser cut spears out of flat stock steel, and that's where you'll find Granddad's spear flies a whole lot better than these new spears. Just like anything else, it was always made better in the old days.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because that flat stock, they look super sharp, you know, the laser cut spears. But whenever you throw them, they tend to plane out.
Right.
They're not very accurate. So if you could find one of Granddad's spears, by golly, hang on to that.
Well, that means I won't be putting them in the sale coming up in the spring. I'm just going to...
We'll talk.
Because I got a couple of really nice ones, man, and they're extremely... they're extremely razor sharp. And they're old, too. So, I mean, somebody took very good care of them. And, you know, like, and I can see where you say those flat stock spears, you know, because you have that flat edge, it will plane against the water a little bit, as where these rounded steel ones kind of cut through a little easier.
Yeah. Yep. When they first came out 8-10 years ago, you know, they were all the rage just because they look so cool. They look, you know, like a battle spear. And then after a couple of years, guys said, no, we're going to go back to what worked, you know, why fix it if it ain't broke?
Right. Well, you know, all modern science, always go back to square one, don't we?
Right.
Now, let's talk a little bit about your setup, how you go about getting out there and finding your location and what size hole you're cutting and what kind of fish house you're using.
Well, today's kind of a perfect example. I've only been on this lake one time, and so we're going to kind of do some searching today. I'm using Navionics, you know, to check out depths and things like that. I get a lot off of, like, Google Earth. You know, the pictures in the summer, you can see the sandbars and things like that. And I'm just looking for drop-offs or points. If there's a point that comes out, I'll sit up on either side or at the tip of a point. And I'm always using just a Chappelle hub-style shanty. I find they're just so portable and so easy to get out and around and on the ice with them. So I'll find a point. I'll pop that shanty up. My hole, it's usually 2x3, and you can go a little bigger or a little smaller, you know, depending on your preference.
And that's not a huge size, but still, I mean, there is some safety precautions you need to take. And what are your typical, what is the typical gear? I mean, we always talk about making sure you have spikes, and you know, that either can run around your neck or, you know, go through your sleeves or whatever, or even a float suit.
Yep, and I have a float suit, knock on wood, and thank goodness I've never had to worry about it ever. So hopefully we're going to keep it that way. But safety first. I mean, there's no fish worth, you know, not to mention losing your life, but even falling in and being miserable. So, you know, safety always comes first anytime you're on any depth of ice or any thickness of ice.
Yeah, and having gone through myself as a kid, miserable is kind of an understatement. Yeah, I wasn't even ice fishing. I was crossing a ravine doing some bird hunting, and let's just say I probably shouldn't have been on that ravine, completely my fault. Went in about up to my chest, pulled myself out, went back to the truck, and huddled near the heat for a good long time.
No fun.
No, none whatsoever. And again, we always talk about the importance of safety. People spend so much money on their auger, and they spend so much money on their gear and everything else. But what they spend the least amount of money is what's going to keep them safe. You know, and look, we can sound like a broken record, but in the end, who are you protecting?
And even just thinking about just having a plan going out there is the first thing. You know, the go through the what ifs in your head. And you ain't got to, you know, obsess about it, but at least, know the danger and have a plan in place. If you do get in trouble, you kind of already know how to get yourself out of it.
Now let's talk about covering up that hole, because that is something that's very important. That's not going to freeze back to 5 inches in a matter of hours. This is going to be something that you need to let people know that you were there spearing and there is a hole there.
Yes, very important. Probably the most important piece of the puzzle when you're pike spearing. When you're done, shove a tree branch in that hole. Most ice fishermen know that when they see those branches, it means there's a hole there. And even if you shove your block, you pull your block out when you cut it and you shove it back in, still mark that spot, because it's not going to freeze up tight, you know, right away.
Yeah, it's not. And, you know, it's not structure. If you see a tree coming out of deep water, okay, it may look good, but no, you got to be using some safety out there. And, you know, just some thoughts. Now, what are you going to be going after today? Now, you're going after pike and you're going to be filming with the crew of Michigan Out of Doors?
Yeah, today we went a couple weeks ago down on St. Clair and we speared some perch and some pike, and the weather was so windy we couldn't do any of the setup footage. And so today we're going to get all the setup and I'm going to run you through how I do what I do, and then we're going to spend a couple hours trying to spear some pike today.
Now, you mentioned perch spearing, and I know we've talked about this in the past. Has that really caught on as big? I mean, it sounds a little more difficult.
It really is. We sold a ton of perch spears this year to first timers at the sport fishing show there. Guys are, you know, they go out there and those jumbos come in and they won't bite. And guys, you know, once they figure out, well, I can spear these fish, you know, they're all about it. So, and Lake St. Clair is on fire this year. They've got a great class of perch, a lot of fish over 10 inches. And
wow.
So a lot of guys are just putting a hammer down on them.
That's a good size. That's a good size amount of perch right there. I mean, that's a great fishery. It's a big open body of water. So with all this wind and everything, please give yourself some extra time and watch what you're doing a little bit more. But then again, perch spearing, that to me sounds like something else that I haven't tried that I really need to.
Well, it's a ball. It is a lot of fun. And the best part is that the fish you're not keeping, they swim away unhooked, unharmed. You are only touching and killing the fish that you're taking home to eat. And so it's a great method of taking your fish.
Now, real quickly, got about a minute left in this segment, Keith. We know how good perch eating is, but pike through the ice, that's tasty fare. I don't care what anybody says.
They call it poor man's lobster. And I tell you that, you know, everyone shies away from them because of the bones. There's so many different ways you can clean these fish, and if you go on YouTube and just do a quick search, you'll see three or four different methods, and all of those methods will get you a boneless, hunk of fish, and it is absolutely phenomenal. It is right up there with walleye.
Man, I tell you, I'll tell you firsthand, we talked about burbot with Mark Martin in the last segment about being a lobster. Now, you bring up lobster, that's it. Okay, I'm off to the seafood store to have the real one. Till I can get out pike fishing and do some spearing. PikeSpearing.com is his website. Pike Killer Lures is what he's producing, of course, along with the decoys that he makes. Keith Stanton, appreciate you joining us, man.
Thank you, Duran. Have a good day.
Yeah, tell the guys at Michigan Outdoors TV we said hi, and let's see some footage from you, brother.
Will do.
All right, man, take care. More coming your way. Appreciate everybody joining us here. This is Wild Michigan.